Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Take heed, says Jesus, that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. If angels were an embarrassment to theologians 50 years ago, they've certainly gained a new prominence today. Touched by an angel tugs at the heart. This past Sunday afternoon, the high priest of American religiosity, or I should say the high priestess of American religiosity, Oprah Winfrey, announced at a syncretistic prayer service at Yankee Stadium that we know that there are now over 6,000 new angels looking down through the holes of heaven, thanks to the events of September 11th. Angels are in. The gospel appointed for this day of St. Michael and all angels barely mentions angels. Instead, the focus of our Lord's words is on the little one. The little ones, not the mighty and holy and high angels of God, but the little ones, the ones that the world considers insignificant. The little ones who are without power and without might. Who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Not the angels, but the child. Jesus answers the disciples' question as he calls to himself a child, saying, "Unless you are converted and become as little children, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." Those are strange words to our ears, as we often perceive the model of faith to be a rational, decision-making adult who at least has the ability to make up his own mind, who at least has the ability to walk down the aisle and make his decision for Jesus. But the model of faith is not the adult, but a child. A child is capable only of receiving. A child is capable only of being given to, as in holy baptism. There is another aspect to our Lord's use of the imagery of a child. A child is vulnerable. A child is subject to deceit and to the abuse of adults. Surely examples abound in our culture. Death in the womb at the hands of adults who wish to assert their own autonomy in the freedom of choice. And if ethicists such as Peter Singer have their way, so-called postnatal abortion, a kinder and gentler way, perhaps, of saying infanticide. And then there is pornography, sexual abuse, abandonment, and murder. Although it might seem to pale in comparison with the destruction of the World Trade Center, who can forget those horrible scenes of broken and bleeding children after the Oklahoma City bombing? Children are at risk. And not only the children of this world, but the little ones of the kingdom. Those who by faith are children of the Heavenly Father, they are under attack. And Jesus has strong words for those who would destroy his children. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Jesus then goes on to connect his little ones with the work of the holy angels. Our God does not leave his little ones, his Christians, unprotected in this world where Satan is at work trying his best to destroy faith. The old serpent wages war against Christ and those who bear his name from their baptism. He seeks to deceive and seduce us into misbelief, despair, and other great shame and vice, as the Catechism puts it. The tempter's target is always the first commandment, as he invites us to be adults, to choose for ourselves, to find something other than the true and living God, to fear, trust, and believe in. Satan wages war against the crucified Jesus and all who have been marked with his cross. God will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways, says the psalmist. The very angels who constantly behold the Father's face, standing before his throne and praising him in unbroken doxology, are on assignment to stand guard over you. So we pray in the words of Luther's morning and evening prayer, "Let thy holy angel be with me, that the wicked foe may have no power over me." Those well-worn words of the Catechism take on renewed vigor as the happenings of these last weeks remind us that this world indeed is a dangerous place. The terrain of the battleground is treacherous. "I walk in danger all the way," says an old hymn. And that same hymn continues, "I walk with angels all the way." God puts his little ones under the care of angels. And what do angels do? They have no power in and of themselves. They have no word other than the word of him who is the way, the truth, and the life. For you see, angels speak not of themselves, but they speak of him who is their king and our brother. Angels speak his word, just as Gabriel did when he announced to Mary that she would conceive and bear in her own flesh the Son of God. Angels bring to earth the song of heaven as they sing the liturgy, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Angels point to an empty tomb and announce that Jesus is risen. Angels attend to us in a thousand ways, beyond our knowing and beyond our imagination, for they are ministering spirits sent by the Father of lights to minister to those who will inherit salvation. Angels do the Lord's bidding. The work of angels sounds a lot like what God has put pastors here to do, as they glory not in themselves, but in the Lamb who was slain. Pastors do the work of angels as they lead Christ's little ones to rejoice in the heavenly song, the hymn that is sung around the throne of the Lamb. Pastors do angelic work when they speak words from God into human ears so that faith is created and sustained to life everlasting. The ministry is work for angels, but as the collect puts it, God has ordained and constituted the ministry of men and angels in a wonderful order. That is the Lord's arrangement. And wonder of wonders, He does not entrust the ministry of word and sacrament to those heavenly angels, but to angels of flesh and blood, to men. But make no mistake about it. It is angels' work that you will do, my brothers. Caring for the little ones, bought with the blood of Jesus Christ, and claimed as his own children in baptism. That indeed is the noble task of the pastor. It is the work of angels. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.